Hello and welcome to the October 2007 edition of Hot Type, Security Books and Audio, brought to you by CertSecurity.com and Addison Wesley. I'm Billy Hurley. As always, our Hot Type podcasts bring you free excerpts from recently published information security books, read by the authors themselves. Today's featured author is Niels Provos. Niels Provos is a senior staff engineer at Google. He developed HoneyDee, an open-source virtual honeypot that won the Tops in Innovation Award from Network World. Niels is also one of the co-creators of OpenSSH. Provos holds a degree in mathematics from the University of Hamburg and a PhD in computer science and engineering from the University of Michigan. Along with Thorsten Holtz, the two co-authored the book Virtual Honeypots, From Botnet Tracking to Intrusion Detection. Physical honeypot deployment may be a valuable internet security initiative, but it's one that's time-consuming and expensive. In their book, Niels Provos and Thorsten Holtz explain the breakthrough of virtual honeypots. Niels, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. Niels, can you explain to our audience what a virtual honeypot is and why it's been an appealing solution?
Sure. I mean, maybe we need to get a little bit of context on honeypots first. Honeypots are essentially computing resources that have no value in your production network by themselves. You sort of hope that you put them out there and get to observe potential adversaries trying to break into your system. And because the honeypots don't really have any function by themselves, any connections that you see to them become suspicious. And, you know, if somebody actually manages to break into them, then you get to learn a lot about these adversaries. And traditionally, you know, when all of this started with the HoneyNet project and Dan Spitzner, people would literally put, you know, unused computers on their network, monitor them, and see what happens. And clearly, you know, the amount of interesting traffic that you see depends very much on, you know, how many machines you have. And, you know, putting out 1,000 physical machines is a lot of work. On the other hand, if you use virtualization, you might be able to put out 1,000 machines with just having a single physical server. And HoneyDee that you briefly mentioned in the introduction is sort of taking this to an extreme. It's a very lightweight version of a virtual honeypot that allows you to potentially monitor tens of thousands of IP addresses. So virtual here really just means that you have more flexibility and a lot more scalability than you have with purely physical solutions.
Are there any implementation challenges?
In general, as a user of honeypots, the deployment of virtual honeypots is much easier because they require less maintenance. And in most of the cases, if you run a high interaction honeypot on a virtual machine and it gets compromised, you can just, you know, go back to a safe snapshot of your virtual machine, whereas if you had a physical machine, you might have to reinstall it. And so the deployment is not as difficult as with physical machines. You know, in terms of implementing, you know, if you want to develop these solutions, then maybe, you know, the virtualization is a little bit more work. But once the product is finished, everything becomes much easier.
Now, obviously, we won't have time for you to read the entire book today, but what's the one message that you'd like readers to take from this book?
So I think the book is really unique in its breadth and broadness. You know, we not only describe honeypot technologies themselves, but also how they can be leveraged to solve all kinds of different problems. And so we give a wide overview of security problems that everybody has these days and how some of the virtual honeypot techniques that we describe in the book can be used to solve some of these security challenges or, you know, get more insight into them. And we are talking about very, very actual problems, such as botnets and malware.
Real quick, can you talk about Thorsten Holtz and his contributions to the book?
As with any book, virtual honeypots actually took a long time to write. I think, you know, from the initial inception to finally having the book finished, it took, you know, almost 4 years. And Thorsten's help was, you know, fundamental here. Without him, this book would never have been finished. So I'm very sorry that he couldn't join us for the telephone call today. But this definitely was a joint effort between the both of us.
Great, Niels, thanks. And now, without further ado, here's a selection from Chapter 6, Collecting Malware with Honeypots.
Yes, I'm going to read the section Primer on Malicious Software, which gives readers sort of an overview of what malware actually is. So let me get started with that. Imagine that you have to reinstall the operating system on your computer. Say because the system seems to be running slower and slower. Another reason could be that your antivirus program detects a piece of malware on your machine, or your ISP sends you an email reporting that somebody complained about your behavior on the internet. Imagine further that you only have the CD-ROM with Windows 2000 or Windows XP without any service packs at hand, since this was the CD-ROM that was included when you bought the computer. So, you install this operating system on your PC. As a responsible user with some security background, you know that you have to patch your computer to be safe. To retrieve these updates, you connect your computer to the internet and instantly download the latest service pack and monthly updates to patch all vulnerabilities. These patches are often several megabytes large. In some cases, service packs of even more than 100 megabytes are not uncommon. Even if you have a fast broadband connection to the internet, the download process will take a couple of minutes. Presumably, you will notice during the downloading process that your computer is behaving strangely. It might, for example, show you an error message that a certain service must be restarted. Or you may notice that a web page that you did not open pops up. Another sign could be that the downloading process becomes slower and slower since another process takes bandwidth and you do not know what this process is supposed to do. One explanation for this behavior is that while you were downloading the patches, your operating system was extremely vulnerable to attacks since it contained many security holes. And since autonomous spreading malware constantly tries to propagate further within the internet, the chances are high that your computer will be probed for common vulnerabilities. And in fact, just as an aside, this really happens to you. I had this happening to me a couple of months ago when I was trying to reinstall a honeypot with the older version of Windows. While I was downloading the service pack, I got infected with malware. So this is an anecdote I can back with my own experience. Anyway, since your system is vulnerable, you will be infected within a short amount of time. Our empirical results with several virtual honeypots show that the average time to compromise on an unpatched system running Windows XP as the operating system is less than 10 minutes. We even had some machines that were compromised within less than a minute. Only a few seconds after we plugged the network cable into the honeypot system, it was compromised by a species of autonomous propagating malware. In another experiment, we connected the honeypot based on an unpatched Windows 2000 system with the internet. After 24 hours, we found 19 different kinds of malware on the system. In addition, we noticed that the honeypot had to reboot quite often. These reboots were, for example, caused by exploitation attempts with a wrong offset. This means that the exploit targeted a system running a different version of the operating system and caused an error in the execution flow. As a result, the exploit can cause a certain process to crash, which then causes the whole system to reboot. Our question now is, can we use the idea behind honeypots to learn more about this autonomously spreading malware? Can we perhaps develop a tool to automatically collect the binaries causing this threat? After all, a honeypot system is designed to be probed, attacked, and compromised. Certainly, we can use this methodology to also learn more about malware. But how do we do this effectively and efficiently? In the remainder of this chapter, we will answer these questions and present two tools to automatically collect malware with the help of honeypots: Nepenthes and Honeytrap. The collected malware is typically a bot, worm, or other kind of software that tries to propagate further by exploiting well-known vulnerabilities on machines running Windows as the operating system. We also present some empirical results to show you what kind of results you can achieve when running these kinds of virtual honeypots. Nepenthes, a honeypot solution to collect malware. In this section, we introduce the honeypot solution Nepenthes in detail. We show how the concept of low interaction virtual honeypots can be extended to effectively develop a method to collect malware in an automated way. In addition, this program can be used to learn more about attack patterns. Finally, we present our results from running this honeypot on a large scale basis. Nepenthes was mainly developed by Paul Becher and Markus Kötter, and you can contact the development team at nepenthesdev@gmail.com. The official website of this project is http://nepenthes.mwcollect.org. And in case you're wondering why this project has such a fancy name, Nepenthes comes from the Greek ne, meaning not, and penthos, meaning grief or sorrow. Nepenthes is a carnivorous plant. The main idea behind Nepenthes is emulation of vulnerabilities in network services. Instead of deploying a high-interaction honeypot with vulnerable services that can be exploited by autonomously spreading malware, this program only emulates the services. On the one hand, this reduces the risk of running a honeypot. Because Nepenthes does not run a vulnerable service, an attacker cannot fully compromise your honeypot. the attacking process will interact with the emulation instead, so we mitigate the risk involved. Once we have downloaded a piece of malware, it is stored on the hard disk and never executed. Even if it would be executed, it is highly unlikely that the binary would run because it targets the Windows system, but Nepenthes runs on Linux. Thus, the honeypot is never infected with malware, something that is impossible with the high-interaction honeypot or other approaches. On the other hand, this methodology leads to better scalability, and as we have seen in earlier chapters, low-interaction honeypots have the advantage of being able to run several thousand honeypots on just one physical machine. As we show later in this chapter, Nepenthes scales comparably to HoneyD. Currently, there are two other concepts related to this area. HoneyD scripts emulate the necessary parts of a service to fool automated tools or low-skilled attackers. This allows a large-scale deployment with thousands of low-interaction honeypots in parallel, but this approach has some limits. With HoneyD, it is rather hard to emulate complex protocols like NetBIOS. In contrast, high-interaction Generation 3 honeypots use a real system and thus do not have to emulate any service. The drawback of this approach is the poor scalability. Deploying several thousands of these honeypots is not possible due to limitations in maintenance and hardware requirements. In addition, wrong offsets within exploits that lead to system crashes or the need to quickly rebuild an infected system are other disadvantages of high-interaction honeypots. Virtual approaches like Potemkin are in an earlier stage of development and it is not yet known how they will perform in real-world scenarios, although preliminary results look very promising. The gap between these two approaches can be filled with the help of the honeypot solution Nepenthes. It allows us to deploy several thousands of honeypots in parallel with only moderate requirements in hardware and maintenance. If you run Nepenthes on a machine connected to the internet without a firewall, you will quickly discover how much malware there is floating around on the net. A lot of them are variants of a few main families of bots. We will introduce some of them in Chapter 11. A fair number of these may be undetected by a particular antivirus product. This will not be of interest to most people, but can be valuable for you to run a Nepenthes sensor within your organization to detect swarms spreading internally.
Thanks, Niels. That was author Niels Provos, author and senior staff engineer at Google, reading a selection from his book, Virtual Honeypots, From Botnet Tracking to Intrusion Detection, published by Addison Wesley. Listeners to this podcast are eligible to purchase the book at a special discounted rate. To learn more and to check out our other information security podcasts, visit our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Billy Hurley. Thanks for listening.